Welcome to the Bedford First Assembly of God podcast. We hope you enjoy this week's message. We'd love to hear what God is doing through this ministry. If you have a story to share, send us an email at connect@bedfordfirstag.org. Also, feel free to visit our website at bedfordfirstag.org. You can view the live stream of our services and find out more about our church. Thanks for listening.
My message this morning, I'm going to move this. Living the Christian life. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Just two verses of scripture that we're going to look at here in a moment. Today, we have looked at loving and giving. You know, today we're going to look at serving. Serving is an intricate part of being a Christian. As a matter of fact, I would say, imagine the Bible. Well, maybe don't. Anyway, imagine the Bible without serving. It'd be a pretty shallow book, wouldn't it? Because there's just one servant after another who said yes to God, did what he desired, and moved forward the kingdom of God. You and I are part of that. We are the other chapters in this marvelous book as we step in as believers and serve the Lord. It is not just function. It has eternal consequence. Wilford Greenfell says, "The service we render to others is really the rent we pay for our room on this earth. It is obvious that man is himself a traveler, that the purpose of this world is not to have and to hold, but to give and to serve. There could be no other meaning. God did not save us to be a sensation. He saved us to be servants." Thank you, whoever said amen back there. I'm not sure. Let me see here what... I don't know. The guy that did these slides, I don't know who he is. Go on to this. Service is large. Some years ago, I wrote this out and was debated whether to share it or not, but I feel like that it is very much a part of this. The church is alive and has its place on planet Earth for one purpose: the propagation of the gospel to every creature. There is but one commission: go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. When the church begins to function for itself, it becomes small and insignificant. Conversely, when the sole purpose of the church's existence is the mass of humanity outside its doors, then no matter the number sitting in the pews on a given week, that church is large. It becomes something uncontrollable in its vast scope. It is human nature to desire control. It makes men feel better, even gives them a limited sense of contentment when things are well in hand. God's idea for his church is that it is too big to confine within walls or even in a single heart. When the truth and the reality of the truth is loosed in a life, that life is changed. Not only is it changed in nature or in conscience, that enlarges for the gospel, that life enlarges for the gospel enlarges. The truth cannot and must not be confined or limited. The call to service within the body of Christ, the church, is a mandate not written with pen and ink, not something that can be coerced or forced. All such service is small and ultimately dies. True service is birthed, bred, and bigger than the one serving. Never has a servant of the Lord ever felt a sense of absolute completion. Even the Apostle Paul, when he said, "I have fought the good fight, I have finished my race, and I have kept the faith," to young Timothy, he did not resign to the circumstances. his was a life's work. The only thing that ends a Christian service is death. But even then, the seeds that have sown, the words that have been spoken, their service lives on in every life touched by the ever-expanding, ever-growing gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's bigger than us, folks. That's the point. It's bigger than us. When we step into service, we are part of something enormous. It is a God plan, not our plan. So we're stepping into something that God is doing. This is the God who spoke creation into existence. And when he calls out to one of us and gives us a part in that creation, we become part of something that is huge. It enlarges us to serve the Lord. It saddens me when I hear someone who is serving that is in the doldrums and ready to give up and feeling poor about the whole thing, because I realize that's not what this is about. I go back to when he ordained the priest and the priesthood in Israel. He said, put linen garments on them because I don't want to see them perspire. Oh, I perspire up here. But it's because we do lights and all this jazz. The truth of that matter is that ministry, as we step into it, serving the Lord, though it is, and we'll see even in our text this morning, it is toil. It is wearisome. It is huge. It is huge in what it does for our lives and what it does for the kingdom of God. I have seen the simplest testimony lead a potential spiritual giant to the Lord. You follow what I'm saying? A shoe salesman was responsible for Billy Graham being saved. Saying, well, you know, somebody that large, somebody that huge, somebody that affected the kingdom that much, it must have taken some spectacular person to lead them to. No, it was a shoe salesman who led this one to the Lord, who led him to the Lord. Paul's expression of thanks in 1 Thessalonians, and that was what was back here, gives us a clear and powerful model in which to build our service to the Lord. Look at this passage with me. Paul begins this. He says, we thank God for all of you and continually mention you in our prayers. We remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. It's a simple message this morning, because service is not complex. The Lord desires to use us within our giftings. He may stretch us. He may stretch our giftings beyond what we think that we have. But he always uses us within the comfort zone. Sometimes within the comfort zone it gets uncomfortable, but most of the time it is because we've added so many other things to it and doing our thing on top of what his thing is, that then we make it more complex and more difficult than it is. It's kind of like me adding PowerPoint presentations to the preaching of the word after 44 years. It makes it more complex because I have to remember this, and I have notes on my notes. Slide. But I'm trying to adapt because I pray to be relevant as I move forward, and that takes work sometimes. Service should be produced by faith. It should grow out of our faith. First of all, that initial service is turning to God in faith. Ephesians 2, you know it, verses 8 to 10. For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith, not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, his work, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. Good works do not save us, but when we are created in him, we will be. It is the natural flow of our faith relationship with the Lord is to find something to do in his kingdom. Because he says here, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do before he saved us. He had his eye on us. He was preparing us. He was not only gifting us, but he was advancing that gift and in expectation that he could use that gift. Isn't it sad, church? When God gives us gifts and we use them in the world, we use them to make money, we use them for our pleasure, but oftentimes we don't bring them in and use them for the kingdom of God. Something's wrong with that. Oh, I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. Does that mean that your gifts are only part of your old life? No, that means that he wants to take those things that he put into you before he ever saved you. And he wants to use those things to his glory and praise. The church extends that initial act to an ever-increasing faith opportunity for service. Listen to this, Ephesians 4:16. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as every part does its work. Wow. I'm telling you, this is huge. His plan of redemption was to bring in all those who are necessary for the propagation of the gospel to the ends of the earth. There is nothing in the Word of God that says, let me redeem you so that you can set. It's not there. It is all redemption so that we can be used of him. All of our gifts, all of our talents, all of our abilities, and folk, a good portion of our energies. Unfortunately, we end up giving God the leftovers. A little bit of time at the end of the day if we have some left over for a devotional life. And I'm just so tired. I'm just working so hard. I've got so many things going on in my life. I just cannot serve at this time. Something's wrong with that picture. That's not a judgment on my part. But if we are redeemed with purpose from God, then the only thing that really matters is that we are fulfilling that purpose before God. Let me read it to you one more time. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each and every part does its work. You know this in your own body. My body only really works at its best when all the pieces are working together. You can hear it in my voice. I've got allergies, whatever. Tuesday, I get this knee cut on, get some bone fragments out of it. Not 100% today. Neither's the church. Neither's the church. Too many claim Jesus. And I don't mean this to be a judgment. It's just a reality. The fact is, to claim that Jesus is the Lord of our lives and to set and not to serve doesn't make sense. If we are truly redeemed for his purpose, and if the necessity of the church for its growth and its movement forward depends on every part doing its part. How many pieces does it take missing in your body before things slow down and stop? How many pieces does it take in just a local church of those who are sitting and soaking rather than serving? I can't answer that question. I don't know. But I do know it slows things down. I also know that then it also works those who will work to death. We had a magnificent week this week at the fair. I commend Wes and Kim for their leadership of this last week. Absolutely. I meant to say this earlier, but I would like to invite all those that worked at the fair to wear your t-shirts next Sunday, because we want to honor everybody. Hopefully those will all be back. They're probably laying in a heap right now. It was hot. It was dusty. But my, we encountered a lot of people in Lawrence County and from all around. Had some very good conversations. And they saw a side of First Assembly that they'll never see, even walking in here for a Sunday service. I'm thinking of three of the most precious kids who served with me on Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. Just incredible. A five-year-old who cleaned like nobody's business. I mean, all evening. And old George, he loved waiting on people, take their order. Isn't that true? Never complained once about it being hot. I'm sitting over there choking to death. Those three, they were up and down that counter. Wow. I can only imagine what God would do with their lives as they move on forward in Him. And they're just an example of the many that served this week. But see, we could have used several more helpers some of the sessions and made it a lot easier on some of those folks. That's not guilt. Service should be work produced by faith. In other words, because He lives, I serve. Because of what He has done in me, I serve. What is sufficient for the washing of your sins? You can't repay Him. Some folks say, well, I'm not even going to try. Why not? What? Paul said, I want to gather up in my body as much suffering as possible. I've not said that to the Lord just yet. In some way, somehow, to equate the suffering that He had for me. You see, why? Because Paul was a Christian. The term means Christ-like. And even as He served us, then we who are His and walk in Him, we should be servants as well. I must say this, in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, Jesus said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. That one's a toughie. I don't know where the lines are at on that, folks. You'll have to find that before the Lord. But He says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. To me, that becomes a mandate that I need to know the will of my Father in heaven. Because if I'm going to do it, I need to know it first, right? So I need to be on my face before Him listening. What are you wanting, God? What are you wanting me to do? And then I need to step in and do it, because He's already told us in advance that it's not going to be enough to just proclaim, I am a believer. I like what Alan Redpath said, and I think I've got it up here. Only a burdened heart can lead to fruitful service. It's got to come from within. That's the point of this. A work produced by faith. How strong is your faith? How intimate is your faith? How much do you love the Lord? If you fall in love with the Lord, if he's truly the master of your life, then service is going to be, it's a no-starter, it's a non-starter, it's going to happen. I've got to serve. I've got to serve. The second thing is this. Service should be a labor prompted by love. I'm reminding you of Scripture and of the Word of God this morning, but you can't serve because of me. Whoever serves is your next pastor. You can't serve because of them. Some will. Some will step in as you have a new pastor, especially during the honeymoon years. People will come. They're wanting to impress the new guy, gal, whatever. And so they'll step in to serve. But if you're serving for a man, if you're serving for a woman, it's not sufficient. It has to be service because you love the Lord. The word he uses there, it's labor prompted by love. The word labor there means to strike, to beat, to toil, resulting in weariness. He doesn't pull back from this. Our service for the Lord often brings weariness. I can tell you, those two folks back there are tired today. It's exhausting, and yet, as the line is drawn on the bottom of this thing, as the sum total comes down, and souls that are touching God, if one person who met the crew out there and said, I need to go try that church, I need something, they've got something in their life that I need, and they come and give their hearts to the Lord, then all that it costs is worth it. Only eternity knows all that is done as we serve the Lord with gladness. Remember last week, the message was, do you love me? It's a prerequisite for serving. Jesus said, do you love me more than these? There's the question. Do you love me more than these, than the things that are around you, than the pursuits of your life? Do you love me more than all of that? You fall in love with the Lord, you will want to serve the Lord. You will serve the Lord with gladness. One of the things that I rehearsed with Pastor Steve over and over and over again, as I passed by his door and as we dealt with different things in the office, what a privilege we have in serving our Lord Jesus. And I think the harder, the more difficult, the more intense, the more weary that we become, the more important it is why we are serving to begin with. If we're serving out of love, everything's different. That's why he said, Peter, let's get this straight. Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Then serve me. In the kingdom service, no other motive will sustain except love. I mentioned that last week, but I purposely mentioned it again this week because we need to realize you've got to be doing the work of the Lord because you love the Lord. If you're doing it for any other motive, it will not last. Fatigue does not govern when love is involved. I gave you an illustration of this. The mom, exhausted, but when the baby cries, because she loves that child, she gets up in the middle of the night, she moves herself in the middle of the day, does whatever is necessary because she loves that child. Love fights for the right to serve. Love never fails. Oh, and by the way, that love for the Lord goes to extremes. Remember that last week? What is the extreme? Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. We get there, you fall in love with Jesus. That's the only way. It cannot be just simply hearing a message like this and say, oh, I need to serve. I need to get up and serve. No, that's not the motivation of this preacher. That's not the motivation of the Word of God. Fall in love with Jesus. And out of that love, out of that passion for Him and what He has done for you and will do for you in all of eternity, you get up. And you begin to say, Lord, what is it that I can do? Because surely there is something I can do. Serving others is serving Christ. Listen to what Jesus said. When the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the angels with Him, He will sit on His throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on His right and the goats on His left. Then the King will say to those on His right, come, you who are blessed by My Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. Now listen, for I was hungry, and you gave Me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave Me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited Me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed Me. I was sick or in prison, and you came to visit Me. Then the righteous will answer Him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothed you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go and visit you? And the King will reply, I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of Mine, you did for Me. You see, when we turn out of hearts of love toward the needs of the church, the needs of the world, God notices. John Calvin said, and I think it may be on here, let me put it up there, here we go. No one gives himself freely and willingly to God's service unless, having tasted of his Father's love, he is drawn to love and worship Him in return. Church, it's the only motive for Christian service is your love for the Lord Jesus Christ. The final thing is this. Service should be endurance inspired by hope. The word endurance is Greek word hupomone. It's also translated in your Bibles as patience in places. Because the word means remaining under or patient endurance. When we serve the Lord, we have an enemy. How many are aware of that? When you serve the Lord, you have a new enemy, the enemy of our souls. Because see, if he can bring down a servant of the Lord, then everybody that servant of the Lord was ministering to will be affected. I know it's easy to look with a critical eye at the pastors, preachers that have fallen in different forms. I hate it more than any of you could ever imagine when I see another famous preacher fall because of a moral indiscretion. Not just for his life, but for all the lives that will be affected as a result of his failure. But let you in on a secret. The enemy is working overtime against the servants of the Lord. Now you say, you know, you think that today's message is a pep talk for getting servants. Listen to what I'm saying. You're entering into a battle. You're into a battle that it will necessitate on your part to be filled with the Spirit of God, because He's promised that. You will be calling upon the Spirit of God as a resource for wisdom to guide you into truth, to do that work of ministry, but also to give you the strength when you are weak because the enemy is fighting against you. F.W. Robertson says, it's not the possession of extraordinary gifts that makes extraordinary usefulness, but the dedication of what we have to the service of God. See, God's not just calling super people. He's calling all believers. He's empowering all believers who will allow him. And he's using all believers who are willing. And I can tell you, ministry is much easier when we do it together than when you're forced or compelled to do it alone, because some Christians, or I should say some professing Christians, will not stand up and take their place. Together we can pull. Together we can fight. And this is an endurance. Paul said, I have fought the good fight. And by the way, I've kept the faith. This is from a man who's writing it from prison. All he had to do was step away from the gospel and he would have been released at any point. But he stood against the enemy of our God and against the enemy of God's people. He stood. Service in the kingdom cannot be done alone. I'd like for you, if you would, to say that with me this morning, if you're cooperating, to just say that phrase with me. Service in the kingdom of God cannot be done alone. Say it now. Service in the kingdom of God cannot be done alone. You will have great difficulty finding in the Word of God the place where God dispatched anybody out all by themselves to do His work. Especially in the New Testament, where He has promised His Holy Spirit to come and to be with us. What did He say? I'll never leave you or forsake you. I'll be with you always to the ends of the earth. So we will always in the Lord have a companion in whatever we're doing. But then Paul unpackages that whole concept when he says we are the body of Christ. And in 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians, he unpackages it even more and says we are interdependent. We cannot say to one another, I have no need of you, because we need one another. I need the people that the Lord has ordained to sit in these seats right here. It's a stumbling block when you're preaching and you're looking over the top of a bunch of empty seats. I don't know who's supposed to fill him. The Lord does. He probably woke him up this morning, let him know church was going to happen. 1 Peter 4:11 says, if anyone serves, he should do it with the strength that God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Here's the hope. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, dear brothers, stand firm, let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord. Wow, that's in there more than once. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Colossians 3:23, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. Praise His name. Everybody's different. Everybody has different motivations and things. The Lord knows what I'm telling you to be true, because He and I have talked about this a number of times. I am not anticipating rewards in heaven. He says they will be there. That's fine. That's not my motivation. I love the work. Love the work. I realized a long time ago that God uses the extraordinary and the ordinary. In every aspect of ministry, I've met individuals with gifts and talents so much greater than my own. They were astounding, more talented singers, more greater preachers, pastors whose hearts are visible to everybody that they are around. I'm in awe. But I can tell you how God has, by his grace, allowed me to see things the way beyond my ability over a lifetime of ministry. I've been privileged to do the work of ministry. It's evaluated constantly by people who really don't know what it's all about. But the reality is, what a privilege. And if I want anything for you, I want you to know that privilege. I want you to have in your life, as soon as possible, I want you to have the glorious sense of working with Jesus in the power of the Holy Spirit. I want you to know that reality that you cannot experience in any other way, but when you begin to speak and the Spirit of the Lord takes over, or when you begin to act and in doing some work of service and the Holy Spirit takes you beyond what you know you are capable of doing. You realize that there is a divine connection. You realize that when Paul said, I am not my own, I was bought with a price. He says, therefore glorify God in your bodies. You understand that. You understand it at a different level because you realize my body now, whether it be my mouth, my mind, my body, my hands, whatever, have just been overtaken by the power of the Holy Spirit. And he is doing something in me that I could never do myself. I remember standing and preaching to thousands of people at one time and thinking, God, what in the world? What does God want to do with your life? It just begins with falling in love with him. Really falling in love with him. And then I guarantee you, you'll get up. You'll do something. You will find something out of your gifting. Because service is what we do as Christians. Let me close with this. There are four types of service within the kingdom. Those who do nothing but expect everything. It's true. Some of the greatest expectations come from individuals that are on the periphery of the church, but know how everything should be done. Great expectations. Then there are those who are slaves. They serve out of fear. They're afraid of God. Bad motive. Sooner or later, that'll turn. Those who are hirelings. This is happening more and more in the church in order to get leaders who will stay by the stuff you have to pay them. Sad, but it's true. And then there are those who are sons and they serve out of love. These are the ones that the Lord's looking for. Fall in love with Jesus. Serve him out of that love. And then you can sweat your brains out at the fairgrounds, on an outreach, doing whatever. And it'll never be too far if you're doing it for the Lord, because you know that he gives strength. What do you think Paul was talking about when he says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength? Think he was just talking about sitting in a service? Nah, he's talking about serving. Imagine how lonely, how filthy, how gross it would have been to have been chained to a wall in a prison cell. Lucky to maybe have a candlelight. The prisons there, they didn't have government support, so you were counting on people to bring you food from the outside. That's the reason why he said he was so thankful to the church at Philippi, because they remembered him in their need, in his need, as he was imprisoned. See? Yeah. You know, doesn't it make it when he Jesus said, I was in prison and you visited me? Oh, there's just so much power here, so much reality, so much glory. One of these days we're going to stand before Jesus. Sheep on one side, goats on the other side, he says. Many will say, look at me, I'm here, look what I did, I've proclaimed you, Lord, Lord, Lord. He said, I needed you in my kingdom. I needed you to be part of the church. Where were you? If you loved me, you served me. He said it to John, he said it to Peter, he says it to us. Do you love me? The progression of service, work produced by faith, that starts it all, labor prompted by love. That labor again is the hard, where's the hard stuff? It starts getting hard. It may start off real easy, but it starts getting hard. But if it's in love, it's never hard, never too hard. And then endurance inspired by hope, that hope one day we're going to be standing in his presence. I don't know about you. He doesn't have to give me any crowns. I don't need mansions. But if he would say, well done, Bill. You've been faithful in the few things that I gave you to do. Here's my promise. Come on in. Father in heaven, I thank you this morning that you've called us out from among men to call ourselves Christians. I thank you that salvation comes from you as a gift. But you have saved us to use us. You have saved us. You have redeemed us to spread the gospel to the ends of this earth. Help us, O Lord, to so fall in love with you that to serve you is only the natural thing. I pray for this little flock that is here today. We can look to others. We can look to their gifting and everything, but we have no responsibility there. It's only to ourselves. My prayer this morning is, Lord, that I could do everything and anything you want me to do during my time as the pastor of this church. Whatever you desire, that's what I want to do. It will be judged by others as being inadequate, but if it's what you wanted me to do, then it's sufficient. I pray, God, that every person in this room would so fall in love with you that they would serve and do what you have ordained that they would do. I pray for those that are serving and they're weary because they're having to do the job of three or four people. I pray, Master, that they would endure out of hope. That hope that you promised. and out of the power of your Holy Spirit, that you would give them a fresh anointing. Praise your name. I hadn't planned to do this, but I feel prompting in my spirit this morning. I want to pray over all of those who are serving in some capacity in this church family. And I'm going to just ask if you would to stand. If you're serving in some capacity in this church family, I want you to stand up because I want to pray over you today. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Come on, church, worship him. Oh, Master, first of all, we thank you for this privilege. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for redeeming us. Thank you for calling us out of darkness into your glorious light. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for seeing in us more than we can even see in ourselves. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be part of what you are doing through Bedford First Assembly. Now, Master, I pray for each one of these this morning. I pray that your hand would be upon them this day, those that are weary in body because of service. I pray, God, that you would just come in and refresh them and strengthen them. Maybe knees that are hurting or backs that are hurting or whatever because they've been serving. God, refresh them and strengthen them. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. May your blessings just rest upon them right now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord. Everybody stand with us if you would. I know that it would probably be in character, if you would, to make an altar appeal of those who would want to step out and serve this morning. But again, I'm really concerned about that because just reacting to a message is not what this is about. My prayer for all of us is that we'd fall in love with Jesus, that the list would be filled up, all the needs be met. His hands extended. We used to have folks in his hands extended every single week. It was open. We had the hours outside so that people could come and get food. And now the girls in the office, we have to go back and collect food and set it out on the picnic table for folks. Grand opportunity to lead people to Christ. There's no set hours. It could be in the evening, it could be in the morning, it could be in the afternoon. Whenever folks will come when they have a need. All we need is folks that fall in love with Jesus and want to help some other people. I can say this to you. This is the reality. You want the church to grow. It's not going to be because you got a new pastor. It's going to be because this church stood up and said, let's go. Let's turn this town upside down. You know, this week, and I'm so proud this week that the fair booth got a reputation around the fair as the place where you could go and get the best food at the best price. And I would have to add the best service. I wasn't serving. Now, that's the way it needs to be. That's the way Lawrence County needs constantly to be seen, that this is a servant congregation ministering to the needs of the community. Amen? Leading people to Jesus. Father in heaven, let your presence and your blessings go with us now as we leave this house. Help us, O Lord, as we search our hearts. May this be all about loving you. May your word find a resting place in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for coming to church today. God bless you.